So you can find it and get your attention. So if you'd like to give something to the church staff this year, that's how you would do that as well. You can use this envelope or just place your offering in the little house back there. Let's worship God today. Amen?
Amen.
Let's now prepare our hearts and minds for worship.
So that we may be strengthened and blameless in your sight.
You are faithful, Lord. May it be so for us who have gathered in your name.
But in those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Keep alert, for you do not know when that time will come. In the evening, or at midnight, or at dawn, keep awake. Such amazing things happen in the sky to herald the return of the Son of Man. Jesus coming in the clouds, the sun grows dark, the moon doesn't shine, and stars fall from heaven. So different from that first coming more than 2,000 years ago, with angels singing of God's glory and peace on earth, with the single star guiding the way to the manger, with shepherds and wise men, rich and poor, coming to worship. And so we watch, and we wait, and we stay alert, waiting again for the coming of Jesus, and we light a single candle in preparation for that glorious day. And even if the sun should grow dark, even if the moon refuses to shine, even if the stars should fall from the sky, we will have Jesus, the light of the world, to shine brightly in our hearts, lighting our way. Will you pray with me? Loving God, we seek you, the mighty God, in the most unlikely places, as a child in a stable and in an empty tomb. May God hear these prayers with which come from the unlikely corners of our lives. Give us ears to hear, O God, and eyes to watch, so that we may know your presence in our midst during this holy season of joy as we anticipate the coming of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
Jesus may be seated. Everyone okay? Hi, Devin. How are you? How's Scouts going? Good? Nice. What are we waiting for? I'm waiting for the Dolphins to win a game. You think Dolphins will win a game before Christmas? I appreciate that. We are waiting for something. Why did we light a candle today? For Advent. What does Advent mean? Stumped a little bit. Advent is preparing, preparation, waiting. We're waiting for a miracle. Now, when we're waiting, what are we celebrating on Christmas? What? Jesus' birthday. So we celebrate that he's already been here once, right? Well, you know what? We're going to turn that thinking upside down because that's not really good thinking. You know why? Because what we're really celebrating is him coming back again, a second time. You think he's coming back a second time? If he's not, all us preachers are in trouble. Because we've been telling people a lot of lies all these years since Jesus left. And we've been telling people that he's coming again. We would be liars if that's not true. So this year, as we celebrate Christmas, let's not celebrate. We can celebrate the birth of Jesus, but let's also celebrate when he comes back again. I think that's even more important, don't you? Because we know what he's done for us. We know what he came here for. What's he going to do when he comes back again? Is he going to come and knock on our doors and say, "I need to have a word with you"? Maybe you didn't do exactly what I told you when I left the first time. Don't we always hate to hear that? You know, when your parents tell you to do something and they go away and they come back and you haven't done what they told you to do? That stinks, doesn't it? It usually doesn't have a good outcome for us, does it? You ever experienced that? When we're asked to do something and we don't do it, things can get a little sticky, can't they? There's usually a price to pay, isn't there? So when Jesus comes back, we're going to be able to say, "Yay, Jesus, I've done everything the Bible told me to do." Is that going to happen for all of us? Will that happen for any of you? See, no hands went up. Because we're all in this together. We haven't done everything Jesus told us to do when he left the first time, have we? So we probably, during this holiday Christmas season, think about him coming back and maybe doing a little better with what he's told us to do. Amen? I think that's a good message for all of us today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessings of your first coming, coming to us as a baby in a manger. But Father, let us live our lives dedicated to the second coming of Christ. The time when Jesus will come back to see how we've done. Let us stand faithfully before his throne. Thank you, Jesus, for these young people and for their faithfulness to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, thank you guys. We go before the Lord in prayer. We do have several requests this morning before us to take before the Lord. Think this morning of those in your life that needs God's provision and grace in their lives. So lift those folks up in your hearts this morning. Hear these names this morning that we're all lifting up. Joyce Blankenship, she actually had a little emergency, went to JFK and ended up getting a stent put in. So Joyce, we're praying for her continued recovery. She is home and doing well. But just keep Joyce in your prayers for a heart procedure where she had stents put in. And Violet Simmons as well will be getting her cancer treatments on Tuesday. And we just keep her in prayer as well as she starts her chemo and radiation, right, Gary?
Yeah.
Yes, both. So keep Violet in your in your prayers. Gary's mother as well, Betty Lee Gray, she continues under hospice care, continues to lift them up as well. The family of Bill Rawson, Ruthie was here earlier, her father passed away last Sunday during the night. So continue to lift up Ruthie and her family, the brothers and sisters as well. Mary Ann Davis has been under the weather and hasn't been getting around very well. So continue to lift up Mary Ann. Rob, Sean, and Chris Friend, the sons of Linda and Ken Friend. We're lifting them up to you this morning as well. Someone is asking for God's guidance in coping with depression and anxiety. God's strength in their lives. So we will pray for that for many of us that periodically suffer from that. Marjorie Powell as well is having trouble with her knee. She has had surgery on it. So Marjorie, we pray for healing for you as well.
Shelly Otis is here with us today. We're lifting up Shelly.
Way to go, Shelly. Dan, Sam.
Good to see you.
Lifting up Rebecca and Rossman. They are trying to go to Canada to study engineering for Rossman. So continue to lift Rebecca and Rossman as Teresa Wellcome's daughter and son-in-law. Andy has a praise for Karen, his angel. Andy, way to go. Praise the...
He feels God has sent the perfect person for him,
yes, as well. And just continue to pray for our government and the reforms that are trying to be worked out. And just for peace. And I'd also like to lift up Ferguson, Missouri. That is a place that's close to my heart and my home. With the turmoil and upheaval that's going on there, let's continue to lift that situation up. And then just a peaceful solution can come. Or really a decades-long issue, and we need to continue to pray for that as well. Know there's things on your heart this morning that needs to go before the Lord, so let's now take those things and place them at the foot of the cross of Jesus and be confident in Him listening, hearing, and taking action on our behalf. Let us pray. Faithful, loving God, we are so grateful for this day. Father, as we've read these names and these situations off to you today, Father, the list can seem overwhelming. Father, many of our loved ones and our church family are suffering from illness and disease and things that would just pull them down and can pull them away from you. And Father, we pray for their faith to be emboldened for them and their patience and just their way of coping with these situations that they find themselves in. They can feel your grace and your peace around them during these troubled times. Father, we are blessed to be your children. We are blessed at the beginning of this Advent season that we can take time to stop and remember the gift of Jesus Christ. Father, we need no other gift. You have given us the gift that keeps on giving. The gift that will receive us into eternity, sitting at your right hand. Father, we lift up our community this morning. Father, where tensions run high and anger seems to be at every turn, we pray that the peace of Christ could just overwhelm these situations. That as we struggle to find our way in this world, that you would guide us. Your lamp would be lit for us to follow. Father God, the world is a dark and hurting place. Our prayer this morning is that we can be a light in the darkness. That our light could shine for those around us. If it's just a neighbor next door, or someone we meet out on the street during our day. Father, let us continue to be the blessing that you've called each of us to be. When the day comes for the roll to be called up yonder, as they say, Father, let us stand before you knowing we've done all that we could to serve you. So, Father, just bless our time together, bless our service today, those that have participated in it, and those that are here for regeneration. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the opportunity to come and praise and worship you and give you the glory for the gift that you have given us. Let us now pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Father God, receive our blessings, receive our offerings. Father, we pray that these could be used in your kingdom to bring light into a dark world. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Are there dry spells in your life when you think God has not heard?
It's a time of year that it finds each of us holding firmly on to the promises of God. Does this time of year buoy your spirits? Give you a sense of joy? You know how many people tell me that they think Christmas and Thanksgiving is the saddest time of the year? A lot of people feel that way. Why is that, do you think? Why would you be sad at this time of year when we're celebrating the greatest joy that we could ever imagine? The reasons why are because things in our life bring us down. Life is not easy, is it? You've never heard me stand up here and tell you how easy life is. It's an easy way to go. Everything is going to work out just, every day is going to be so happy and joy-filled. Well, this time of year, we're to concentrate on the birth of Christ. The promise that we hear in Scripture, and this Scripture telling us that Jesus Christ is coming back. Jesus is coming back. Everything that Paul is telling the church in Corinth is that he is aware that they are waiting for the coming of Christ. Do we spend a lot of our time waiting? Anyone been to the doctor lately? Do you walk right in at your appointed time and walk right in and see the doctor? Hallelujah, you've discovered a miracle in your life if that has happened to you. If you take your car to the service center to be serviced, and they guarantee you a 30-minute oil change, and an hour and 30 minutes later, they used a part of that 30 minutes. We went to Cracker Barrel for Thanksgiving, I told you last week. We put our name on the list. They said it would be an hour. We're like, oh, I don't know. I can't wait an hour. But we'll do it. Where else are you going to go? An hour and 45 minutes later, our name was called. We spend a lot of time waiting. That's what Paul is telling the church. He's aware of their waiting. So that description pretty much describes our life, doesn't it? Our life is spent waiting. In these verses, Paul is speaking to the Christians at Corinth. When Paul came there, it was around 51 AD. And Corinth was only about 100 years old. Yet it was five times the size of Athens. Now, Corinth was a wild town. It was a place where you could get anything you wanted, do anything you wanted. Any depravity that you could think of was there. That sounds like a fun place, doesn't it? It was prosperous, was filled with temples and shrines devoted to emperor worship. They worshiped their emperors. They worshiped other gods. There were old temples to Apollo. We would find the emperor's cult, the Greek religion of mythical gods. All kinds of things. Drunkenness, prostitution was not only commonplace, it was even incorporated into their pagan worship. And we might get more people into church if we start thinking about that outside the mosque, couldn't we? Do you think we could fill this place up if we offered the sacramental wine when they come in? I don't know. But it certainly was in their lives. And I have a feeling it wouldn't be too far off from our own lives today.
fornicated. They developed a verb with Corinth to describe fornication. That's a proud place to be from, I bet, huh? Just as our word sodomy comes from the city of Sodom. They lived in a society that was all about themselves, now society. Now that couldn't be describing any of the way that our society is, is it? Did Black Friday represent any of that in our culture? I'm not going to have you raise your hand if you were out at 4 o'clock Friday morning on your way to Dunkin' Donuts and saw that the store was open. Then think you'll just turn in. That Black Friday calls for strategy and planning, doesn't it? People spend weeks preparing for Black Friday. I wonder if they prepare more for Black Friday than they do the coming of Christ. You think so? I know the companies, the stores, they certainly do. Why would the Christians in Corinth reject a life of excess in exchange for a life of sacrifice? Here we go back to God's economy. It doesn't make sense. God's economy just does not make sense, does it? It doesn't make sense. Why would people give up all those things to live a life of sacrifice? They had everything available to them. Every pleasure, every pleasure, indulgence. Listen to this line. But they felt empty. We hear mega stars and people commit suicide or in their life, and we think on the outside they have everything. Many of them will leave a message that says, I have nothing. I am empty inside. There's nothing in there. Our world today looks like we have everything at arm's length. It's right there in our hands. All we need to do is reach out for it. That sounds a little bit like the society of the Corinthians. We want it now. When I went to Cracker Barrel, I wanted to walk in and sit down and have my dinner. My wife, I think, was happy. She got to shop at Cracker Barrel for an hour and 45 minutes. Did you have fun? How was your Thanksgiving? It was great! Did you know you could look in Cracker Barrel for an hour and 45 minutes and not see everything? The rest of us sat in the car, didn't we? You know, we do have everything at our fingertips. But because of their faith and our faith, we have been given grace. The testimony of Jesus Christ was confirmed in them. Can we say that it's confirmed in us today? The promise today. We're looking for more. We're looking for quicker places to buy things, fast cash, convenience stores, faster internet. There's even a car that says it will turn the wipers on for you if it begins to rain. I have often driven on 95 for an hour wondering why I can't see. I wish somebody would turn the wipers on for me. How lazy are we getting? When it starts raining, click. Wait a minute, that's a lot of work. But that's what we want. Things that will save us money and save us time.
What do we need more time for? So we can go buy more stuff.
Your Christmas today becomes something that has nothing to do with Christ. It's just another attempt at finding something to fill the void within us. You see that in any of your friends and family's lives? What am I going to get this year? Do I need more gadgets? Diamonds and furs? My wife says she needs more diamonds. I'm picking on my wife today. I'm going to hear about that when I get home. She's Spanish. She does love bling. You can't hold that against her. I love you. See? I professed it publicly that I love my wife. There will be those of us that sit under the Christmas tree looking around at all the torn wrapping paper, the ribbons, bows, all the things we receive and still feel empty. We begin to feel like the Corinthians before they met Jesus. Jesus turned their life around. Can Jesus turn our life around? There again, that's a promise that I make as a pastor that I hope is true. Or I'm a big fat liar. I think he's awake, though, Heather. What Paul is preaching to them was confirmed in their lives. How many of us as Christians say, well, if I accept Christ, I'll have to give up everything that is fun? Have you heard people say that before? That Christ sounds okay, but doggone it, they're no fun. We had fun here last night. We partied until 8:30. Well, I don't know how long they stayed. The pastor had to go home and rest. I wanted to be fresh for you this morning. Sorry. You know, when we receive Christ into our lives, that's when our joy should begin. Who here, when they were introduced or found Christ, that's a bad saying, found Christ. Christ was lost. Did you know that? If we wander around long enough, we'll bump into Christ because he's lost out there too. That doesn't make sense, does it? When we finally bump into him enough, we say, hey, wait a minute. What are you doing here? That's when our joy should begin. Anyone felt joy in their lives after finding Christ when he was lost? All right, a few hands going up. That's good. Because that's when the joy begins. The joy doesn't begin because we get more stuff, does it? Sometimes more stuff makes us feel empty. C.S. Lewis, you know, you've heard me speak of him quite a few times, a British author. He had a conversion on a roadway. C.S. Lewis started out as an atheist. He hated the church. Yet he thought he would read the scriptures. The more he read the scriptures, the more he realized, wait a minute, there's some possibility that this could be true. He admitted nothing else in all literature was just like this. His fellow author, J.R.R. Tolkien, urged Lewis to consider the claims of Christ. Lewis, in turn, encouraged Tolkien to finish a book he was working on, The Lord of the Rings. On an automobile trip to the zoo, of all places, Lewis made the final step. He says, when we set out, I did not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And when we reached the zoo, I did. You can find Jesus on the way to the zoo. Anyone want to go to the zoo this afternoon? If we haven't found him yet, let's get over to the zoo. Apparently he likes animals. And he's hanging out somewhere on the road over there. So looking back, he realized that an atheist cannot guard his faith too carefully. An atheist guarding his faith? Dangers lie in wait for him on every side, even when you're going to the zoo. God closed in on me, he said. The light broke through, and Lewis was, in his own words, surprised by joy. He was surprised when he felt joy finding Christ on the way to the zoo. How many of us, and this is what I talked about with the children, celebrate Christmas actually celebrating the first coming of Christ, which we do then. How many of us in America today celebrate the second coming of Christ? We should be celebrating the fact that he's coming back. How many people actually think about their faith during Christmas? Is Christmas about faith? Is the reason why we'll light these candles about faith? Or is it about an opportunity to gather with our loved ones, which is a great thing? Or is it about buying something for $100 off? Or is it about our faith? Bonnie read it to us this morning in verse 7. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gifts as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. Those words today because they're true. We have been given everything we need. We're lacking nothing. We're waiting on the coming of Christ. It's not things that we're gathering for ourselves. It's about gathering things for building up the kingdom of God. Some of you in here have told me, all I'm concerned about is getting others in a relationship with Christ. Do we want to keep this secret to ourselves? Do we want the secret of Christmas to be only enjoyed by ourselves? Christmas is about giving, and we are gifted. Amen? Aren't we gifted? Christ has gifted us. John Wesley said in this verse, waiting with earnest desire for the glorious revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, a sure mark of a true or false Christian to long for or dread this revelation. Do we long for it or do we dread it? I think there's folks today that dread this revelation. I want to read a poem to you. Author unknown, it says. I want to end with a poem today. See if you recognize this in our world today. 'Twas the night before Jesus came, and all through the house, not a creature was praying, not one in the house. Their Bibles were laying on the shelf without care, in hopes that Jesus would not come there. The children were dressing to crawl into bed, not once ever kneeling or bowing their head. And Mom in her rocker with baby on her lap was watching the late show while I took a nap. When out of the east there arose such a clatter, I sprang to my feet to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but angels proclaiming that Jesus was here. With a light like the sun sending forth a bright ray, I knew in a moment this must be the day. The light of his face made me cover my head. It was Jesus returning, just like he had said. And though I possessed worldly wisdom and wealth, I cried when I saw him in spite of myself. In the book of life which was held in his hand, was written the name of every saved man, woman, and child. He spoke not a word as he searched for my name when he said, "It's not here." My head hung in shame. The people whose names have been written with love, he gathered to take to his Father above. With those who were ready, he rose without a sound, while all the rest were left standing around. I fell to my knees, but it was too late. I had waited too long and thus sealed my fate. I stood and I cried as they rose out of sight. Oh, if only I had been ready tonight. In the words of this poem, the meaning is clear. The coming of Jesus is drawing near. There's only one life, and when it comes, the last call, we'll find that the Bible was true after all. I hope that's not any of us. My prayer is that that is not any of us or any of us that we love. If we have loved ones that we are not sure of where they're at, it might be the season for a conversation. Amen?
Amen.
Give the gift of life, everlasting life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we prepare for not only the coming of a baby, the coming of Jesus Christ, coming back for us, let us not stand before him hanging our heads. Let us stand before him with arms flung wide. Father, I pray a blessing upon each one of us as we leave this place inspired to be the light of Christ in a dark world. Father, thank you for the gift of your Son, in whose name I pray. Amen.
season. Do we need more than that? We don't need more than that. Receive this blessing. Father, as we leave this place, let us be the blessing that you have given to us, to others. Thank you, Jesus, for being our friend, in whose name I pray. Amen.
Back to the right, to the left.